Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We have had guys here that showed up on Sunday and hadn't gotten tested again, you know, 7 days later, you know. And then you don't get the results for 2 days either. So that's, you know, 9 days without knowing. And I think if we really want this to succeed, you know, we're going to have to figure that out, you know. And I've wanted to play this year because I felt that it would be safe and I would feel comfortable, but honestly, I don't really feel that way, which is why I'm trying to keep my distance from everybody and wear my mask and just so that we can get this thing going.
That's Chris Bryant speaking out very clearly on this unconscionable testing issue that MLB has developed. Despite promises that they would be well-regulated and tested, they are simply not at this point, and they're promising to fix it. But the Cubs are working out, and they are getting back to baseball for now. Here to talk Cubs is their general manager, Jed Hoyer. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Jed?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing?
I'm okay. And I'm sort of balancing, like I say, I balance the excitement of baseball's return every day. I have these wild sort of mood swings from, yay, baseball's back and this is fun, to how the hell are they really going to pull this off? Do you have those moments also?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm really excited to go and watch baseball every day and, you know, be part of a team. You know, I think that everyone's excited and, it's palpable. You go to the ballpark now and guys are back, and they've been, you know, kind of chomping at the bit for 3 months. And it's fun to see the result of that. But I totally get it. I mean, I think that we all know how hard, how heavy a lift this is. And we know that there's a lot of things that have to be done exceptionally well to make this work. So, yeah, I think that it would be hard to only have the excitement feelings and not have, you know, those anxieties. And I think those anxieties are what should propel us to make good decisions, to make sure we're as careful as we can be, to do a great job in the testing and all those things. Because if we don't take those precautions, this isn't going to be a reality. And I think we all want this to be a reality.
How are you watching these workouts? What matters to you?
Right now, I look at this very much like the first week of spring training. You know, just let these guys get out there, get on the field again with their teammates, and kind of get their boundaries, the legs underneath them. I'm not evaluating yet. I'm really excited by how everyone showed up, the kind of shape everyone's in. Our guys worked really hard during this period, and sometimes without, you know, perfect situations, but they made it work. And so our guys are in great shape. The pitchers are throwing really hard. The hitters have had no problems with that velocity, but I think you'd be crazy to evaluate really until we get pretty deep in the second week. And I don't think that's really fair for anyone. You know, but that said, we're going to have to make some decisions without as much information as we're used to. You know, we always joke about how, you know, spring training is really difficult to make good decisions already. And that's, you know, 5.5, 6 weeks normally. Now we're talking about doing this in 3 weeks. We're talking about playing our first exhibition game really after just a little bit over 2 weeks. And so, yeah, the evaluation time is not going to be entirely thorough, and therefore it's going to have to fall back on, you know, on track records and things like that a little bit more than probably usual.
Do you expect any opt-outs? Because the headlines are changing every day, and people tend to feel differently as more news comes in, and certainly more individual testing results come in. But how much can you plan for just all of a sudden not having a guy at all because he doesn't want to play?
Well, I think that this whole season will be a lot about depth and a lot about you know, keeping your environment positive. So hopefully guys don't opt out, and it'll be somewhat, you know, fortunate to avoid injuries and to avoid guys testing positive, because there's going to be, you know, there's going to be more absences than usual. I think we've already seen that in intake testing. We've already seen that in the few days since then. And so I think that's going to be a little bit of a reality of our season. But I certainly hope that we can run a process with the Cubs that makes guys comfortable, and we can take the precautions, and that we can avoid those things. That's our goal, is to certainly avoid anyone feeling like they would not want to be part of this. And I think we all take a responsibility in that.
I wonder how many of these, like the South Bend call-ups, would be too many. You know, if you get a point where it's almost like not a representative major league product anymore, when you could theoretically end up with somebody who gets it and other people who have to quarantine because of contact tracing. And at some point they're in Cubs uniforms, but would you feel still comfortable saying, yes, these are the Chicago Cubs out there really competing, even though you're digging deeper than once thought into that extra group?
Yeah, you know, that's an impossible hypothetical to go through. I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, we hope to keep our guys healthy. That's obviously our goal, both in terms of injuries, which is a real real challenge given that it's going to be a shorter ramp up. So, you know, taking it slowly, making sure guys are ready from an injury standpoint, obviously from a COVID standpoint, and then from a mental health standpoint. Like, we want all those things to be positive to avoid that, because certainly, you know, your question, your hypothetical is something that everyone has contemplated and everyone wants to avoid.
How are you going to know when you can't give a star player more time to get right? Because you don't have the 162, and this might be something that you're going to talk about a lot with Theo and David Ross, certainly, is to let a guy hit out of a slump or let a guy go through one of these periods. You almost can't. It's almost like, I got to get somebody else out there who might be better right now. What's going to be the right way to manage this? If you say you're going on track record, if you're going in large part on established track record and back of the baseball card, variance is still going to swamp everything. And you could have a good player not be good this year, and you could have a not so good player be terrific this year.
There's no question. There's no question. And I think that's going to be a really fine balance. You've got the fact that you only have 60 games. And so, you know, the sense of a sprint, or, you know, every game meaning that much more. So I think that's one balance. And the other balance is, you know, 60 games is not as short as you think. You know, when you think about it, like, that's the time usually you have after the trade deadline, and there's ebbs and flows and things that happen during that 2 months every single year, you know? So, you know, there's going to be, you know, guys are going to go hot and cold. You know, guys routinely go, you know, week on, week off, or 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off during the season. And I don't think we can, you know, we can't panic every time a guy is having a rough week, because that happens all the time. And it's not, you know, it's not a 10 game season. It's not a playoff series. It's 60 games. So I think that's a real balance. And there's probably going to be some times you play the hot hand, but I still think we can't run away from the guys and their track records and what they've done, because even over 60 games, you hope that those things balance out.
In the big picture, then, as you figure out your competitive risk balance for this year, where there is a trade deadline, how are you going to determine how good you think they are? Because, you know, for years we talk about patience, and for years we talk about larger samples and really taking the time to understand. Without that time, when you know a hot week can be the equivalent of almost like a hot month, you know, what does that do for your allotment of risks and resources at a trade deadline?
Yeah. I mean, the truth is that, you know, that seems so far in the future right now. You know, I mean, our challenge right now is like I said before, like having a great camp, which I think we have right now, you know, creating a good vibe, you know, getting off to a good start and getting into the season, and even just thinking ahead, you know, whatever that is, you know, almost 2 months from now, it's hard to even go there mentally. I think that let's just focus on the here and now and making sure we get this thing off the ground effectively. That things are lined up right now. And then, I mean, that's so far off there. I mean, I understand the question. It's a totally valid question, but it's also one that, you know, we need to get this season up and running effectively. That's our goal. And that's kind of the only thing we've even talked about or thought about at this point.
Well, Chris Bryant's thinking about more than that, apparently, because yesterday with reporters, I want to paraphrase, he said something like, yeah, I know that I could potentially be traded. He said something like, I hope they wouldn't ship me out of here in the middle of a pandemic. What do you think when you hear him say something like that?
Yeah, I thought all of his comments were, as always, like spot on. I think he, you know, he did a great job of sort of capturing his mood, talking about it, you know, being really honest. I think his mindset has been, you know, fantastic so far. He obviously kept himself in great shape. He's been, you know, talkative and engaged with his teammates, and he seems like, you know, he seems excited. And, you know, I just think that, you know, he was, you know, generally talking about, you know, being here, being in Chicago, you know, how much he likes it here. I think that, you know, probably being away from the team and probably, you know, the birth of his kid and all those things have you know, made him, you know, reflect a little bit more and think about those things more. So, yeah, no, I thought all of Chris's comments yesterday were spot on, and I appreciate him, you know, being so candid and being so open.
We're talking with Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. I always think about what we don't know and what the hack is this year. Like, where is there some secret sauce, whether it's a baseball thing or a business thing, more at your level? And I know probably the wankers down in Houston are working on something, but somebody, one of you bright Ivy League minds is going to find something in this chaos that's going to be a competitive advantage. So what am I not thinking about that I probably should be?
No, it's a great question, and obviously it's something you think about. And the really obvious and really boring answer that I give on live radio is that I just think that, you know, keeping guys on the field, you know, keeping your group together as much as possible, that is a competitive advantage this year. And I, like I said before, it's not just COVID related. It's also injury related that, you know, in a time of a smaller ramp up and a long period of absence, you know, that's a huge concern is guys going out too fast, getting injured. And if you lose a guy, you know, all of a sudden, a quick DL stint, a 3 week injury, you're missing, you know, 40% of your season. So I just think that's going to be huge. And you know, the teams that can do the sports science exceptionally well, the teams that can keep guys out of the training room and can do a good job keeping guys on the field, you know, that is a massive advantage in a 6 week season. In a 60 game season.
But you realize how the way you prefaced that with a caveat means there is something in there. You're just not telling me.
I mean, it's on the radio. Of course I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. All right. I just, because I know this is driving me crazy that I can't quite figure out what it is, but I know that you guys are cooking up something.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, I think that, you know, the high performance side of it, I think is as important as anything. And, you know, I think that we don't have a great, we're in an unknown as well. And I think that, we're in a world of more variables than we're used to. I think every team would probably admit they're slightly uncomfortable with the number of variables we're dealing with, that, you know, we're used to the same rules every year, and we're used to the same routines every year. And like anyone in any job, you get used to those routines and those rules. And now all of a sudden, all those things are thrown out the window. And so I think every team is sort of coming to grips with that and getting used to it and trying to figure out, you know, what things they can do really well, or maybe what competitive advantages they can gain with those rules. But, you know, I think I'd be lying to say we're not all a little bit like our legs aren't under us as much as normal, just because we're using a totally different set of rules and a shorter season and all those things. It's unusual for sure.
Well, you're all working together, too, because this whole experiment with travel and with multiple ballparks, even if it's regionalized, this chain is only as strong as the weakest link when it comes to best health practices. So do you know what enforcement there's going to be, or what mechanism is going to be to say, hey, you know, by the way, this hotel's a little sketchy, or that somebody was coughing on that bus? I mean, everybody also has to kind of look out for each other here and have an ongoing dialogue with baseball.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think internally, I think David Ross has done an exceptional job so far in our meetings of talking about that we are only as good as our weakest link. And every person has to take great precautions and respect the group and try to make sure that you know, we don't have an outbreak with us. But then I agree with you. I think Major League Baseball is going to do a great job with that, because, you know, the last thing they want is anything derailing this. Obviously, so many people there have worked so hard to get this to the point it is. And so, yeah, I think we're going to have to all be communicating about things like you mentioned, buses and hotels. And, you know, that's the part that, you know, I thought Chris was right. Like, you know, we have to nail this part now when we're in our home cities and we have our alternate sites. But, you know, less than 3 weeks from now, we're going to be traveling and doing those things. And that becomes, you know, a whole different ballgame. And we have to really be vigilant as we enter that part of it.
I read a Fangraphs analysis that believes that the DH is a net positive for the Cubs. It may not be a strong net positive, but that you are one of the National League teams that really can benefit from using that spot wisely. Do you agree with that analysis?
I think I do. Yeah, I think we have really good depth from a position playing standpoint, and I think that we have a lot of good hitters, and I do think it benefits us. I think we have the ability to do a lot of different things to give guys days off. I think, you know, in this short season, you're not going to be able to run with guys every single day as they ramp up. And so I think giving guys a breather and letting them DH that day is really important. And we have plenty of depth to do that. And so, yeah, I think it is a positive. I think it gives David some nice things to think about. And I'm glad we have enough good hitters on our roster that becomes a positive for us.
What baseball are we using?
I don't know yet. That's a great question. I don't know. We'll find out, right? I have no feel for it. I will say that one thing that's going to be a lot different about this season than normal seasons is normally Wrigley is, you know, many different ballparks in the same season. You know, we have the April, May, you know, time when the ball doesn't go out and we play a lot of pitchers' duels, and then we have the, you know, July and August period where the ball is flying and those gaps seem really short. And we skipped the April-May period this year. So, you know, I expect that, you know, the ball always flies at Wrigley, you know, this time of year. And I would expect, you know, no matter what ball we're using, I would expect that our guys are going to swing the bats really well, because we always do in the summer. And because, you know, like I said, we're sort of skipping that early period of the season where, as we all know, there's nights you can't hit the ball out no matter how well you get it.
When it comes to the new extra inning rule, have you seen enough data that suggests some probabilities that if you look at what's happened in the minor leagues, that gives you a plan of attack as you and David Ross start to figure some of this stuff out? And does it mean that maybe like an Ian Miller type or so, one of these little Terrence Gore speedy guys finds a way onto a roster to steal a base and steal a run?
Yeah, I know that's something the R&D department has spent and will continue to spend a ton of time on. And that's a new wrinkle for sure. Like you mentioned, the DH, we have a 3-batter minimum, and then we have the extra inning rule. And they're all really interesting. And going all the way back to your question about, you know, competitive advantages and what's up everyone's sleeve, I mean, I think handling these new things well, as effectively as possible, is going to be a big part of getting this right. So those guys are going to research it like crazy, and really, I think that's one of the things that David has done a great job of. As I've mentioned a couple of times, that he really stayed engaged with our research and development team, did a lot of, you know, game simulations and strategy talks during the course of the layoff, and I think that's going to serve him well with things like the extra inning rule.
Lastly, Jed, and as always, appreciate the time, that physical health you mentioned and being on top of that and being on the performance side is important. What about this year's unique mental health aspect and the awareness that you have to have about the stresses of this, and not just the stresses of the differences, but we've talked about the usual clubhouse connections and camaraderie and the time spent together and around each other and yucking it up and having that the connective tissue of a baseball season isn't there in the same way, and figuring out how that may affect the actual performance of a team, because that stuff isn't really measurable.
No, it's a really great question, and something that we talk about, you know, so much. And I think we have to be really aware of that. You know, when you're at the ballpark and you're tense and you've got a mask on, you're taking it off, you're being tested every other day, you're constantly, you know, being reminded to take precautions. I think in and of itself, that is exhausting. You know, that, you know, I know even for me, you know, when I leave the ballpark after having a mask on for 6 hours, there's an exhaustion feeling. You like take it off. You're like, oh, you know, you sort of get in your car and you let your guard down. And that, I think that's real for everybody. I think there's a mental exhaustion of being so aware of everything you're doing and everyone around you. And that's just one small part of the mental health thing. I think that, you know, this game is so hard and there's so much failure in our game. And I think sometimes we take for granted how mentally strong our players are to play a game where you're a superstar and you fail 70% of the time. And I think that all the players have certain mechanisms that allow them to get through that. And some of it's playing baseball their whole lives but some of it is, you know, being able to socialize off the field and to get away and to clear your head and, you know, to go have a drink, to go out to dinner, you know, to go do other things than baseball in order to clear your head and get away from the struggles of baseball. And I think that's something that's going to be a real challenge for every team, is that, you know, certainly we're going to, you know, discourage our players as much as possible from all of those things. And so when you take away some outlets that guys have to reset from a mental health standpoint, there's a toll that's going to be taken with that. You know, if you're struggling this year, it's going to probably feel a little bit worse in some ways than it normally would, because you can't do some of the things that you normally enjoy. And so I think the mental health component this year is potentially the biggest thing, even with the physical health. And, you know, I know John Baker, our mental skills guy, will do an exceptional job with that. But I think we all have to be aware of it, and we all have to be open and have those conversations with our players, because like I said, it's going to take a mental toll. And I think the more that we can have an open dialogue about those struggles, the better, because I think you don't want those guys to be feeling that alone.
Well, you got to get the testing fixed first and foremost, absolutely, because you talk about stress. If Chris Bryant is going 6 days without a testing result, that's untenable.
Yeah, and I think that I have zero doubts that the testing part is going to be done well and is going to be up to snuff. I do think that the sort of transition from the intake test to the every other day test that these guys have, and the 4th of July weekend, that, you know, that sort of messed things up to start. But I have no question that, we got tested on Sunday, we got tested today, and I think now we're sort of up and running on the every other day cycle. And I think now that we're on that cycle, I think that, those concerns are going to go away. So I think that, you know, that was, you know, some of the backlogs that happened because of the 4th of July weekend, I think caused that, that concern, which is totally, legitimate. But now I think that we're in a rhythm, and I think that that concern is going to fall away.
Here's hoping that's the case. Jed, continued good health, and thanks for being generous with your time today.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
Yeah. That is Jed Hoyer. He is the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. What do you think? What did you take from that? What did you hear? 312-644-6767. let's discuss. There was a lot going on in there. So a little bit of news, a little bit of information. But that stuff about how guys are going to deal with difficulties without being able to get away, without being able to find that sort of social piece of baseball, it's clear that that matters to the Cubs. I'm glad he addressed it. You've got WSCR, the score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show. MLB insider John Heyman.
He's got tools. He's not just power. He's got tools all over the place. Speed, fielding, everything. I mean, obviously, Jimenez is a very good talent. He's got great power, but not a full five-tool player if you are. And Luis Robert is one of those rare five-tool players. I will be shocked if he's not a big star.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute.
Look, I don't want to hammer Nick Markakis for opting out of baseball's return. Health issues and safety are paramount for everybody. And with positive tests and bubble protocols, no one has any idea how all of this will go. But when the Braves outfielder says what put him over the top was not playing in front of fans, I gotta question it. He said the game wouldn't exist if it weren't for fans, and it's not right to not have us in the ballpark. Yeah, but Nick, sitting out definitely is not a move that honors us. We need sports back. We want the games back. We'll be watching on TV, Nick. Not sure if Nick Markakis has noticed, but we're into German soccer and Korean baseball right now. Nick, if there was ever a season where it would mean more to us if you did all play, this is it. This is Damon Amendolara.
It's the... The Home Depot has news that will come as great comfort to your bathroom or bedroom. Right now, you'll find beautiful savings on soft, comfortable bath towels, fresh bed linens, pillows, and cozy comforters. See it all online. Order in minutes. You can even get free delivery right to your door, which is also a pretty nice feeling. Save on select bedding and bath. Get easy online returns. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through July 22nd. Limitations apply.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, that's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, user rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
After the Bulls hired new top exec, Arturis Karnišovas, the score jumped into action with our Bulls experts.
Casey Johnson.
Arturis is the guy, and he's got to make a decision on the coaching staff and Jim Boylan's future.
Will Perdue, what are your thoughts?
Bulls fans should be very excited. The biggest thing that everybody talked about was his ability to identify talent.
Joe Cowley.
They grabbed the right guy as far as a guy that understands talent, a guy who's a great communicator.
Ryan McDonough.
Arturis was a big part of helping build the Nuggets into one of the best teams in the NBA, so I think this is a great hire for the Chicago Bulls.
Vincent Goodwill.
The one thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this: very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win.
He gave Arturis Karnišovas his first shot for the Rockets, Daryl Morey.
There's a lot of excitement today about Arturis.
He's built a team from a non-contender to a contender in Denver, and I think he's got a very good chance to do that for you guys.
When big Chicago sports news breaks, count on us to deliver. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. Through its museum in historic Philadelphia, just steps from where the Constitution was signed, and its online interactive Constitution, the center brings together people of all ages and perspectives to learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For podcasts, live programs, constitutional news, and educational resources, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I have zero doubts that the testing part is going to be done well and is going to be up to snuff. I do think that the sort of transition from the intake test to the every other day test that these guys have and the 4th of July weekend, that – you know, that sort of messed things up to start. But I have no question that, we got tested on Sunday, we got tested today, and I think now we're sort of up and running on the every other day cycle. And I think now that we're on that cycle, I think that those concerns are gonna go away.
Now, I wish I could share that level of optimism, but based on what we've seen from MLB so far, I think that's giving them a benefit of the doubt they haven't quite earned yet. And we're hearing some nervous, some skittish players saying, look, where's the test, man? You know, we got to know. That's the one thing you can't screw up. You got to know, because otherwise this can get out of hand so quickly. This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Now through July 8th, shop the final days of Grand Appliance's July 4th sale. Get extended sale prices plus up to $500 in extra savings exclusively at Grand. Shop in-store or at grandappliance.com to save today. Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930. So I asked you what you heard in that, what you heard in his responses and the wide-ranging discussion of all of these unknowns. And I thought with when Jed Hoyer mentioned that they, as a staff, they as a group, don't feel like they really have their legs under them. That's for a lot of reasons. And that is just because they don't have the usual structure of their minor league system to handle everything. Usually at this time, there's multiple seasons going on and extended spring training and lots of people and places and things, and everybody is out and about doing what they do. And they just can't have the same information. When he's talking about the R&D guys and how they're going back and retroactively looking at data for how to game this extra inning rule about where around the edges, how you come up with a chart, how you come up with an understanding of situation and personnel and when to do the right thing. And it does sound like in some way that health is going to be, they're going to pay a lot of attention, not just to the virus and the effect on that, but in a season where we already know pitchers may change their pitch mix a little bit to go a little bit harder. You can open the valve a little bit, that's going to change the way that they condition themselves for the season. And like Craig Calcaterra talked about, if guys, you know, running into walls or laying out for balls when every out means so much, that perhaps the Cubs' depth, and not just, I'm not talking like crazy crisis depth of getting half the guys from South Bend in uniform in that sort of, worst case scenario COVID outbreak response, but just having guys to man all these positions with the versatility they have is going to be a thing. When you can put Chris Bryant at any outfield spot third base, first base, when you can play Ian Happ at multiple positions, when you can play David Bote at multiple positions, it gives David Ross a lot of variables, a lot of decisions to make, but also a lot of control. And I do think that welcome to managing, David Ross. Welcome to it. That he's going to rely on Andy Green, and he's frankly going to rely on Jed and Theo too. We know that for a lot of guidance as this all comes off, however it does. An email came in from Rudy, who said Jed was great. He said, the thing I can't wrap my head around is the delays in the testing. So the owners are risking $1 billion in TV money for this season because someone couldn't get to FedEx in time over a holiday. For God's sake, hire a courier service. Hire someone to drive the test to the lab. I got time. I can run them over. This is one of the dumbest things I have ever heard. Yeah, that's why you can't necessarily buy it. I mean, I don't know why they would say that, well, yeah, we didn't know. FedEx wouldn't deliver, and there was a holiday, and they weren't open. You can't have that. You can't. And I just hope that baseball's finding a way. They mentioned that many of their facilities were their own private PED testing facilities, or they were dedicated, subcontracted to them, and they wouldn't otherwise be doing testing for the general population. So they're not taking away capacity in that regard from the general population. But I don't know if every individual market is like that. I don't even know, frankly, if they're telling the truth about all of it. But, you know, when he talks about players who may take, how did he phrase it? He said that the bad times might feel worse because you can't do what you usually do. You can't say, all right, I'm going out for tacos and I'm going to feel fine. Or I'm going to go out and do a bunch of tequila shots and I'm going to hang with the guys and we'll play some pool and throw some darts and I'll get over it, because you have that routine. You have the normalcy of life, or you just have the comforts of socializing in the clubhouse the way you're used to socializing. Chris Bryant has said it before. I think he was talking about, was it Tommy La Stella, who he said where Bryant was going through a slump, and La Stella said to him, just, you know, casually in the clubhouse, said to him, hey, you know what, don't forget, you're really good at baseball. And he said, I need to hear that. He said, that's the kind of thing where sometimes you just need somebody to say something that picks you up. And when you're not socializing, when you're not around guys, you don't have the sort of same opportunities for some of those little or perhaps unplanned moments that you don't even know you need. And that's why I think the coaching staff and Ross have to be so keenly aware. And maybe the communication's just different. Maybe you reach out with a text. You know, it's always, you know, little things. How you doing? You okay? You doing okay? A little text like that. I mean, look, we're lucky at the station. Ever since March, you know, Mitch Rosen has been really, really good about that. No matter who it is on the staff, whether it's hosts, producers, you know, other people in the office, there's, you know, maybe on a weekend sometime, or if it hasn't, you know, haven't spoken in a while, he'll just check in. You doing okay? You need anything? And little things like that start to matter. And he, not only that, he internally urged us to do it too. He said, don't forget, no matter who it is, those words, you doing okay, really help. And sometimes just people want to know that someone else is asking how they're doing. And look, these days we go 100 miles in one direction and right back 100 miles an hour in the other direction. And we can, 10 minutes can go by and you can go from fine to very much not fine. And we're all dealing with that because of these unknowns, because of everything that's hanging over our heads, and because our lives have been turned upside down. And sometimes you go to a kind of a dark place where you think how far away normal is. And this whole thing with sports, this whole thing of trying to find normal, trying to make it feel normal, that's what we're reaching for. And we can't force it. And we can't just decide it's going to be normal, because that's getting people killed. And it's going to get a whole lot more people killed because we've just sort of decided that the virus is gone or it's going away, or we've listened to people who have said things that haven't come from doctors. But I think that a baseball team, they have John Baker, he mentioned their mental skills coach, that takes a village. That takes a lot of effort with all these different guys and all these different mentalities and all the different languages they speak and different backgrounds and different ways of processing information amid all the baseball. Is just continuing to ask, how you doing? You okay? You need anything? You know, that stuff matters for all of us. One member of the Chicago Cubs who is important in our lives is their radio voice, and that recognizable voice belongs to Pat Hughes. We will talk to him about how he is preparing to start calling baseball games again on these airwaves. He's coming up next on The Score.
While you're doing your part in staying at home, count on The Score to stay informed, stay connected, and stay entertained.
Chris in Gage Park is on The Score. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for keeping me entertained while I work at home.
We're trying.
Tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score and listen to The Score from home. We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
My Brooklinen sheets are currently on my bed, and that is a really good thing because I can look forward to sleeping in luxury sheets, and you can too, and you think, oh, sure, luxury sheets. That means I got to worry about thread count, and I got to go to a boutique store, and I have to find some magical cotton that came from the Tigris River. No, the whole point of Brooklinen is that you don't. Don't listen to any of that. Anybody is telling you that stuff, because the whole idea of Brooklinen is to bring you luxury sheets at a fraction of the price. And the way they did that was they cut out all that BS that you used to have to go through. All you have to do is go to brooklinen.com and click around and find the right things for your bed and pillowcases and duvet covers and everything else. There's all sorts of colors and styles to choose from. And then it'll be on its way to you with a special deal. Because Brooklinen can give you 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code SCORE. Go to brooklinen.com, use the promo code SCORE. It's 10% off your first order and free shipping. A perfect place to start making your mornings great. And Brooklinen is so confident in their product, all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. So brooklinen.com, promo code SCORE. It's everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Sammy Sosa.
Well, you know, I don't have too much to share with Mr. Ricky, but we're talking about that, you know, that era. I mean, I don't know why they were going to take the blame for everybody else. That's only I'm trying to say. And also, you know, for the voters or for the writers, you know, every year that I have a chance to do every interview, I did it. I treat the reporter very nice. So one of the reasons that I ask myself why that I cannot receive more vote every year. So, you know, I see players, they don't have the caliber number that they have, that they have much better vote, or the writer treat those people much better than me. So that's the question that I ask myself. I don't get more recognition when it comes to the vote.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
The president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs is Theo Epstein. He joins me now.
Fans have to prepare for it to look a little bit different. The way almost everything is going to look a little bit different. And, you know, players are going to be wearing masks at all times except when they're on the field. They're going to be socially distanced. You know, even in the dugout, there's not going to be as much time spent indoors preparing for games. And simple things that you're used to seeing on the field that they're not going to be able to do. I think the right perspective to take on it, and it's something that we're all learning to do in almost every aspect of our life, is to maybe not compare it to what we've been used to, because that's a losing proposition and you end up seeing the negatives if you play that game and mentally. And instead, to look at it as an opportunity to sort of craft something new.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Not being able to deliver games for broadcast on The Score has been a huge issue for The Score. And working with Rachel and Mitch, you guys have been terrific partners. And we can't wait to bring Pat and Ron back on the air. I'll tell you just a funny story. I was listening to some of the replays and listening to Pat and Ron in the car every time I was traveling when we were replaying games. And some of the games, honestly, I don't really recall the outcome. You know, we'd be playing, you know, you'd be replaying an obscure game with Cincinnati from, you know, 2010. And just the soothing voice of Pat Hughes on the radio, especially in a time like this when everyone's worried about their families and their neighbors. And I can't tell you how important it was for me to keep listening to Pat, even for games that were played years ago. So can't wait to hear his voice again soon.
And indeed, Crane Kenny will be hearing Pat Hughes' voice again soon, calling Cubs baseball games. And you get to hear his voice right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Baseball, indeed, will soon be back if everything goes well and we keep knocking on wood as we can. How are you, Pat? How are you hanging in?
Dan, I'm hanging in just fine. I'm excited about the season coming up and organizing some baseball history notes, and I just thought I would share with you on July 7, 1964, the great Billy Williams of the Cubs had a home run in the All-Star game at Shea Stadium. 1959, the legendary Willie Mays drove in Henry Aaron with a triple in a game at Forbes Field in the All-Star game. And as I read that, I grew up in the Bay Area watching Willie Mays, and he absolutely loved playing the game. Not only was he enormously talented and had power and great fielder and could throw and could run, one of the great base runners ever, but he had a joy for playing the game. I remember watching him, Dan, in pregame warm-ups, right before the Giants would take the field. This is literally 2 minutes before the first pitch. And the players in the old days, they wouldn't run all out at the same time the way they do today. They would go out and play catch in front of their dugout. And then once, you know, they were all kind of warmed up, then they would from there run out to take the field. But before they would do it, Willie Mays would be playing with, say, Orlando Cepeda, playing catch with Jim Davenport. And he would be goofing around. He would be smiling, even laughing, belly laugh sometimes. He would throw a knuckleball, and the guy would drop it, and Mays would just laugh uproariously. And I thought, how cool is this? Here is the best player in the game, which he was at that time, and some people think he's the best player ever. But here he is having fun. And I thought, that's another reason why I love this particular Cubs team, because the guys on this team, and I'm talking about the core of Javier Baez and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Wilson Contreras and Kyle Schwarber, among others, these guys love playing the game, and that is another thing that makes it a very special ball club to cover.
And it's fun to describe. It obviously is to keep finding the verbs and adjectives that convey that joy. And it's not always easy because it adds a layer to what you have to do. It's not just where the ball goes and who picks it up, but you know, as we're seeing the game through your eyes, it's also, you know, making us feel the way you're feeling watching them play.
Well, I was so lucky, and I've been so fortunate in my life. You know, just to think about the current broadcast situation we have, I just heard Crane Kenny, the Cubs president, talking about listening to us on the radio, and he's been so good. Tom Ricketts and his family, they've been wonderful. Mitch Rosen at the Score, Dan, I don't have to tell you what a great leader he is for both of us and for many others. He's just wonderful. And then the partners that I have, you know, Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman, it's a special feeling that I have every single time I go into that booth. I love Ronnie and Zach. They are both very bright. They have a great sense of humor. We laugh off the air. We laugh on the air. And then on top of it all, we have had this excellent team to cover, the Chicago Cubs of the last 4 or 5 years. They've been as good as any team in baseball. And I'll tell you what makes me kind of sad, and it's just the business of baseball, but there is a chance that this particular Cubs team here in 2020, it'll be the final time you see the core intact, because players are going to be reaching free agency here soon, and this might be the last chance that we get to see the Cubs, this particular Cubs team, and I'm talking about the nucleus of the World Series championship team of 4 years ago. This might be the last time we get a chance to see them.
So as you start to prepare for this season, I'm wondering how you're envisioning getting comfortable, or if at all, in a new routine. Because I know my experience calling baseball games in the minor leagues and calling minor league basketball games for years, was always, it was a slave to routine, where arriving at the park at the same time, going through the notes, preparing my book in with the right color ink, and I just, everything had to be just right because that's what I could control. Obviously, once the ball is pitched, there's no control at all. You see it, you say it, you describe it, but that sense of having everything just right and everything okay to get me to that spot of comfort was really almost a day's work. And you're probably no different. There aren't a lot of people that just sort of walk in and wing it. How are you adjusting for what's clearly going to be a very different routine?
I can tell you've been a baseball announcer just by what you said there, Dan. You're right. There is a daily routine that you just kind of get into. But every game is different. And I always say I hope for the best, I prepare for the worst, and I try to be ready for anything. Because we are live performers, as you are. You can make so many plans. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. You have to pivot and go to plan B. That happens all the time in broadcasting. So I try not to get too locked in or too uptight. When something happens, sometimes you can laugh it off or you can joke about it. That doesn't make it easy or funny or fun, but that's just the way you have to do it. At least that's the way I feel like I have to do it. But it will be a different year. I think everything in society, as a matter of fact, is different right now. Just the fact that you can't go to the store without wearing a mask. Who would have thought that was going to be the reality of 2020? But it has been, and it is, and it's just something that we have to deal with. And I guess I'm just trying to stay loose. I'm trying to be as prepared as I can. I like to read as much as I can about the Cubs and other teams, particularly the teams that the Cubs will be playing in the immediate future. So I try to get some notes and write things down. And you're right, it will be different. And you know, it's one of the oldest cliches in baseball, one day at a time, but literally that is all you can do.
With no fans in the buildings, how are you going to calibrate the energy of your call, which usually sort of is able to surf the wave of the crowd noise in a bit that informs a moment for you? You're not going to have that natural guideline anymore.
That's a real good question. I've thought about it. I think when you're calling a play, though, you are so locked into the details and the precision and trying to enunciate properly, and you get excited. That's natural. But I love the game. I find the game stimulating. It's interesting. It's a challenge to be a broadcaster when you don't have any idea what's going to happen, to try to put into words quickly and dramatically to the best of your ability. And I don't think those things are going to change. I think perhaps that in the moment after I make the call, it might seem kind of unusual to hear no crowd noise or mm-hmm. no crowd reaction. But I think by then I've already made the call and it doesn't really affect me, if that makes sense.
No, I understand that. It's always something where this is Len Casper's wonderful description of Wrigley Field has always been as an amplifier of emotions. And he's always said that the lows feel lower and the highs feel higher. And I think that naturally comes through in a broadcast of that local energy, whatever is in the air, whether it's subconscious or not, is always transferred through a radio broadcast in particular, at least from my experience as a listener. And that's going to be adjustment, let alone doing it remotely where you're in Wrigley Field, even if it's a road game.
That I've already started to think about that, the last sentence you said about doing the road games from Wrigley. For one thing, once we are in the booth at Wrigley, that's home. It's been my office, and I'm so lucky to say that. This is my 25th year that I can call the radio booth at Wrigley Field my office. So once I get there, I'm comfortable. I've had so many wonderful moments there, and sure, I've seen some difficult things too. But once I'm there, I'm okay. But I'm trying to imagine calling a game off of television monitors. I think we'll have two or three different camera angles to choose from. But I think I'm already telling myself to try to be disciplined enough, Dan, to be to delay the call maybe a second or a second and a half. Because when you're watching a game at home on television and they have that center field camera angle and the pitch comes in and say it's a fastball and a hitter in the middle of the lineup takes a big swing and you can tell he hits it hard and you think, ooh, that ball might leave the yard. And then you see the panoramic video and it's just a routine fly ball to left center field. So as a broadcaster, I don't want to mislead the audience by getting too excited initially just because I see a guy put a good swing on a ball and it looks like he hits it. I'm going to try to be disciplined enough to wait for a second until I see the wide shot, as they call it, and see where the fielders are and how they're reacting to the ball before I get too excited.
I think that,
is it easier said than done?
Sense.
You bet it is, but at least it's in my mind and I'm going to try not to, again, mislead the audience.
Yeah, because you don't get your usual cues in that regard, because sound matters. Like being in person, hearing it is really important. And then that immediate first step of the outfielder to see where he thinks it's going. You know, generally when I watch the center field camera video, it's it's the hitter's own reaction where he knows he got it. And usually if the pitcher starts kicking the dirt immediately after he sees the impact too, that they're telling you if they're pleased with it. So there's some of that. But like you say, you don't have to race, because I think the listener's probably better served just waiting for that extra second. It's in the best interest of everybody, I guess.
And plus, I work with Ron Coomer. Now, Ron, as an ex-player, Dan, many times he'll know just instinctively by either the swing or the way the ball jumps off the bat, or as you say, the reactions of either the pitcher or the batter. And so he'll kind of give me that little, I can just tell. I mean, he's right next to me, and peripherally, I can notice his body language and his reaction. So that's an indicator for me. As you were saying that, I was laughing about a classic moment for the Chicago Cubs a couple of summers ago. David Bote had the grand slam against the Washington Nationals, one of the most miraculous Cubs wins ever. They were down 3-0 with two outs and nobody on in the bottom of the ninth inning. Two guys were hit by a pitch. There was an infield single. Suddenly the bases are loaded, two outs, full count. David Bote at the plate, and the pitch comes in. Bote crushes it. The catcher, Matt Wieters, if you ever watch the video, he knows immediately that Bote got all of it. He knows Washington has lost the game. His reaction is one of anguish. He kind of slams his fist into the glove as if to say, no, anything but that. Anyway, Coomer knew it, too. I could see out of the corner of my eye, Ronnie is kind of exulting, either pointing. I forget what it was, but I knew that Coomer sensed that it was gone. And I wasn't completely sure, and I always make sure that the ball does sail over the wall and it landed in that green shrubbery beyond the fence at Wrigley. But if you ever have a chance to watch that video again, watch the reaction of the catcher, Matt Wieters. If you're a Cub fan, it is classic.
I remember it vividly because it was that very afternoon. My son got a text from a friend who said, hey, we've got an extra ticket. You want to come to the game tonight? And he said, yeah, I guess, Dad, can I go? Sure, of course, go ahead. And I remember that he was I was watching, and then he started texting, like, did you see that? I'm like, yep, I saw it. And it was, I know he always says it was probably one of his favorite in-person baseball moments he's ever seen in his life.
Well, it was one of those moments. It was so stunning. Mm-hmm. That as a broadcaster, you can't even believe what you're seeing. And recently, the MLB Network had a special on Jack Buck, and he made the great call of Kirk Gibson's home run in 1998 against Dennis Eckersley. And he says, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe what I just saw. And that's exactly the way I felt when David Bote hit the grand slam. And the fans were just turning inside out. They were almost crying and laughing and cheering all at the same time because it was so shocking. And just, it's a moment I know I'll never forget.
Well, you have, this whole conversation has really whet my appetite for baseball and baseball on the radio. I'm ready for it, and I hope everything goes smoothly. Pat, always good touching base with you.
Dan, I'm happy to do it. Thank you, and we'll do it again soon, okay?
Indeed. That is Pat Hughes, the veteran voice of the Chicago Cubs, among our guests today that included Carrington Harrison and Craig Calcaterra. And, of course, Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager. Thanks to you for hanging in and listening. Thanks to Shane Reardon, who's been doing yeoman's work as our reserve executive producer. And, of course, Ray Diaz, the executioner, doing what he does. Keep practicing solid health practices.